The podcast you are about to hear contains adult themes, including, but certainly not limited to, bloody, sexy imagery, profane enthusiasm, gay giggles, and horror film spoilers. If this lewd behavior will displease you, feel free to exit this podcast zone. If you're unsure, check out the overture to get a taste of what's to come. If you're definitely sticking with us, strap in and let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to get horny for Sigourney? That's right. We are back again with Sigourney Weaver, aka Ripley.
Welcome to the pod, everyone.
Hello, welcome everyone. The fact that this isn't recorded, like video recorded, is a criminal crime. The dance moves that y'all missed is offensive.
Yeah. We gotta start getting video recordings of our pod situation.
Yeah, but that's so much
people need to see
work.
Us. Because remember, we talked about this in the first episode of the pod ever, was that we were really hot, and it's kind of something that's really stressful that the fans don't even know.
They don't know, and we're so hot, and it's also we're so good at dancing and very expressive yes. individuals.
Yes. In case you're like, who are you guys? Let me tell you, we are Alyssa and Jesse. Alyssa and Jesse. This is Final Girl Standing, a podcast in which me and my co-host Jesse pit Final Girls against each other in a March Madness style bracket to see who will be
the Final Girl Standing.
Hello, welcome. How you doing, Jesse?
Hi, I'm good. I'm Jesse. I'm a co-host here, and I'm a fan.
And I'm Alyssa, and I also co-host. And also, you know what I love about this podcast is that despite the fact that we have 2.5 seasons under our belt, every time we press record, it's like we've never done a podcast.
Like a fresh newborn baby. Yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome to the pod. Here we go, Jesse. Let's throw them down with their needs to know about the pod. What I got to know, Jesse?
Okay. The first thing that we need to know is that we do pit Final Girls against each other in a March Madness style bracket. But if you don't know what a Final Girl is, that could be so confusing. So
yes, you're like, what is a Final Girl?
Let's define it, shall we? So the way we define a final girl is a certain number of people have to die in the film and she must survive. She's typically a key player in eliminating the threat. She's the one left to tell the tale. She embodies the spirit of the final girl, which if you watch enough of those films, you'll find the vibe. You know what we're talking about. Franchise girls will get their own bracket, by the way. We're in that bracket, so.
Oh, wiggity wiggity what now? That's right. Season 3.
Weird for you to start on episode 3 of season 3 if you didn't already realize that this was the bracket. But if you do need instructions, where can they
please
go?
Please refer to the overture.
Yes, thank you. Exactly.
Which is going to be the preamble to the season. Basically, you'll check that out and talks about sort of the episode structure. This podcast has kind of a typical structure for OG homies out there who know about the structure.
Yes.
It's a little bit different this season, not too different. If you have questions, go to the overturn.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. We simply won't be taking questions.
We won't be.
One thing I did forget to mention also is that we reserve the right to break any of these rules at any time because it's our podcast.
Yes. And we will have discourse about how this particular final girl breaks or does not break the rules.
Y'all.
So speaking of which, we are fighting Ripley v. Ripley. And I know what you're thinking. Jesse, Alyssa, didn't y'all do Ripley? Yeah, we did. Ripley was the season one finale winner.
And like, we honor that bitch, and we love her, and we praise her.
That bitch came through the entire first season, and she's back yet again. But she's not back in the sense that film one Ripley is back. She's back in the sense that we're pitting Ripley from Aliens, aka Alien 2, versus Ripley from Alien 4. And again, there is much discourse that we have to discuss about this selection. But
yes,
before we get too into it, should we kind of just lay out what we're talking about Ripley was?
Yeah, I would love to hear a full history of Ripley. Ellen, as everyone
Ellen
knows.
Ellen Louise Ripley, okay?
The gayest
name on the goddamn
planet.
Respect on her name. Put some goddamn respect on her name.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So, let me give the people... Sorry, I'm flipping through pages if you can hear that ASMR.
Oh, it's so crinkly.
Okay, so to give you a little background on Ellen Louise Ripley. Ellen Louise Ripley is Lieutenant First Class, a warrant officer in the space universe of Alien. In the space universe of Alien, we have sort of the capitalistic overlords of Weyland-Yutani. Weyland-Yutani is Ripley's employer for the first couple of movies, and then she kind of like hooks up with the Marines at like at one point, the U.S. military. I don't know. It's unclear. We're going to get to it, but like the sequence of events devolves after two. Anyway, Ellen Louise Ripley, Lieutenant First Class. She is a badass broad. She is the kind of person that you would want on your ship if an alien is spotted. And so I'm not going to get too into like sort of the weeds in the background, because something that I told Jesse before we even started this pod today is that there's some weird, like, conflicting information about, like, Ripley's whole backstory that, like, I think was, like, canon as part of the video games at one point. But me and Jesse have only seen movies 1 through 4 at this point. So the information that we have about her is that she's a badass broad who is extremely competent in the realm of sort of commercial piloting. And that's where we get her when we start off with the first movie.
Fantastic. Yes. Now, we're obviously not fighting the first movie. We're doing 2 and 4.
Ripley 2.
Yes.
But yeah. And we will, and I think that we've kind of established this in the past 2 episodes this season where we're calling them like Ripley 2 and Ripley 4 to like make it clear who we're talking about, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that does clarify some things.
Yeah.
So what are some of her canon events then? Can we, start there?
Let's break it down. Yeah. So Ripley's canon events are going to start in movie 1, right? Canon event number 1 for Ripley is she is a warrant officer for the Weyland-Yutani commercial shipping industry. And canon event number 1 is that Ripley is on a space expedition for her overlords, for her capitalistic overlords. When she wakes up mid cryo sleep, the whole crew wakes up mid cryo sleep because they have received what seems to be a distress call from a planet saying that there is some sort of life that was found and they need to intercept. Right. So canon event number 1, Ripley wakes up in space with her crew and is like, oh, we got to check out this shit. Canon event number 2. Ripley's crew becomes overrun with alien life because when they pull up to that space planet that had that distress call, turns out it was an alien. And so when it comes to the alien that they encounter in the first one, we kind of canonically call these xenomorphs throughout the film. But basically what happens is aliens start running amok on the ship. We have facehuggers, we got xenomorphs, we got all kinds of things running around on the ship. Now, obviously, the sequence of events in the first movie are a little bit more, you know, detailed if you've seen the first movie, but I'm kind of breaking it down just bit by bit.
Yeah.
Because as we come to find out, Ripley runs into aliens a lot in this franchise, okay? Because the franchise is called Aliens.
Yeah, it's just the points. Really, all we need is, like, the points where she receives trauma, I guess.
Yeah. The trauma points, right? So that brings us to trauma point number 3, which is everyone on Ripley's crew dies. And she survives. And she survives by defeating the alien by pushing it out of the airlock. Mm. Now, next canon event, we have Ripley wakes up 57 years later in some space station after having ejected herself from the space pod after escaping the alien. She wakes up, it's 57 years later, they're like, hey diva, welcome back, and she's like, what do you mean, like, where am I? And they're like, oh, it's 57 years later, everyone you know is dead.
Important to note, she does have one companion, and that is Mr. Jones, the cat.
Mr. Jones, the kitty. Put some respect on his name. And then this brings us to the next canon event, which is some fuck-ass guy named Burke recruits Ripley into going back into space to hunt for more aliens that are on a planet that she was like, yo, there's definitely aliens there. And everyone's gaslighting her, being like, there's not aliens there. And then Burke's like, actually, I think there's aliens there. Can you go with them? Right. So alien rolls up, or Ripley rolls up to canon event number 6, where she pulls up to this planet where there was a colony of people living on it at one point, but they all got murdered by aliens. Ripley knew this. She's like, I knew this was going to happen. So canon event number 6 is that more people die via being murdered by alien, right? But the key point of this canon event is that everyone but Ripley Newt, who is fun little girl she finds on Alien Planet, who's the only one who survived, and Hicks, the guy who I thought was kind of hot, who like had a moral compass and like kind of like kept everyone's shit together at the end of the day.
Is he the one who's like the third in command who like takes over?
Yes.
Okay, because bless up, what I didn't realize, a friend of mine pointed this out when I was watching the second one, is that Ripley was also third in command. And so it's kind of this redemption arc for the third of command finally getting some fucking respect on the
Getting some fucking respect.
And yeah, and he like listens to Ripley, which is like, wow, novel
Hashtag
concept.
Hashtag believe women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we'll get into it.
Okay, so anyway, that canon event is basically everyone dies but Ripley's motley crew. And you think, oh, beautiful, happy ending, right? They basically, they escape the planet and they're off into space to go, you know, live their lives, right? Just kidding, because canon event number seven is, you know that beautiful ending that you had in number two? Just kidding, everyone but Ripley dies again. So the little girl and Hicks basically die within the first 30 seconds of film three. How they die is like kind of unclear. It's kind of like they just like died because the ship blew up, I guess, is kind of like the situation. And then when the ship blows up, Ripley's cryopod gets ejected into space and basically lands on a planet. So number eight.
For transparency, also, I did not see the third one because Alyssa watched it for me and instructed me that I don't actually have to do that. So
and we'll get into it real quick right now, which is that, to be clear, every movie after Alien 2 I hate. At least when it comes to 3 and 4. I haven't seen like the prequels and like Prometheus and all that.
Yeah.
But 3 and 4 are bad films. They're terrible films and shouldn't have been made, but here we are nonetheless. So I'm really going to bip through 3.
Yeah.
Because basically everything that the second one built up is bullshit, because by 3 Ripley crash lands on a prison planet and like the vibe of the prison planet is that like everyone here is a prisoner who also like is weirdly religious, and none of them have seen another person other than the prisoners on the planet and like the warden and the doctor for like 50 years. And one of the key plots is that like no one's seen a woman for 50 years. And another really key plot of number three is that everyone is concerned that Ripley is going to be raped. Like the theme of number three is like rape. Is like the vibe of the entire movie. It's basically like Ripley crash lands on this planet. They like pull her out of the thing, right? And then the guy's immediately like, we gotta shave your head because if you look too much like a woman, everyone's gonna wanna rape you, right?
Because this was gonna be my thing, was like, well, she does have a shaved head and it looks good.
It does. It does look good. And I have a whole comment about the butch evolution of this woman.
We do need to talk about the hair. It will come up, yeah.
It's yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that takes us to canon event number eight, right? Which is Ripley attends the funeral of Newt and Burke, or not Burke, Hicks, because they basically take their bodies from the spaceship and like burn them in this furnace, and it's a whole thing. And she cries, and it's very sad. But then that brings us to canon event number nine, which is Ripley has sex with a man, and like it's consensual sex. But it's weird and it's unclear why this happens. Anyway, moving on to the next one. Ripley becomes pregnant with an alien. You might be thinking, wait, did she become pregnant with the alien because of the sex? No. We don't know how or when she became pregnant with an alien. It's never discussed or talked about in the film. At one point, she just goes, she does an ultrasound to her body. And they're like, oh, there's a face hugger in there or a chest burster in there. And she's like, well, I'm going to die, right?
Yeah.
So, speaking of her dying, she dies at the end of movie three. She basically, Weyland-Yutani pulls up to the space to the planet, and they're like, "Hey, y'all, we're here to take Ripley back because we want that alien in her chest." And she's like, "Fuck y'all, you can't have this alien. I'm out." And she Jesus styles it and like drops herself into a giant vat of molten lava and dies.
Well, good for her.
Yeah,
but also,
and then that brings us to Yeah.
Just what the fuck is all. Also, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, it's a bad film. It's a bad plot line. It's not good. It's, yeah. But that brings us to the next canon event, which is 200 years later. Some people clone Ripley by taking some of her blood from, like, the planet that she was on where she sacrificed herself.
Yeah.
And they clone her.
It's the government.
Yeah, the government. The government.
The government is the one who took the blood. It wasn't a company. Yeah. It's so crazy. I was literally like, what the fuck? And it's like, we're the government, yeah, so we're not corrupt. And I was like, hello fucking L. But okay.
And that's the other thing too, is that there's like a weird dynamic in these films, because like there's basically 300 years of timeline in these four films. And like, it's like very unclear who's in control at what point. Cause it's like, sometimes the corporations are in control. Sometimes the US military is in control. And it's just like, what's happening anyway?
Yeah. It's not really even explained until you get into the like Romulus, which is when they go into the four companies. But anyway, yeah.
Which is an incredible film. Go watch Romulus.
Wait, no, I'm not talking about Romulus.
Alien Earth.
Which goes into the four companies.
Another incredible. Romulus is also very good.
It is very good. Yeah, I love that. I love the movie.
Anyway, long story short, they clone Ripley. She's now part human, part alien. The logistics are never clearly explained because this is a bad movie. And then the next canon event is that Ripley is like becomes sentient as a clone, and then also becomes like weird and horny. And then the next canon event is that Ripley kills all of the other versions of clones that were cloned. She is the eighth version of the clone. There were technically seven versions before her. She pops a cap in those bitches to save them from their horrible lives. And then the next canon event is that Ripley kills her granddaughter alien baby because it is kind of suggested that the alien that's running around the ship in this movie is the spawn of Ripley, because the reason that they cloned her was to impregnate her with an alien that was a queen alien, and then that alien would be removed from her stomach to become the queen alien. So then that alien gives birth to another alien that it's like weirdly humanoidal. And so that's kind of like Ripley's granddaughter, question mark.
Yeah. A vaginal birth.
A vaginal birth.
Not from an egg.
And then the final canon event is that they land on Earth.
Yeah. They crash land.
And that's Alien 1 through 4. I'm so sorry.
Oh, and she kills her baby by it being sucked through a hole in the glass from her acid blood.
That was a little crazy. So anyway, those are her canon events. Should we hop into astrological speculation?
Are we doing astrological speculations next, or are we doing what the fuck with these movies?
We're doing what the fuck these movies after astrological speculation.
Okay, captain. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about it. So the thing is, when we're talking about Ripley from Aliens, aka Alien 2, It's the same signs as the very first time that we talked about Ripley. Yes. So important to keep that in mind. What we rediscovered is two things. One, her sign is Capricorn. It makes sense. It tracks.
Clock it.
Two is that I went back and looked at my notes from the original watching of Alien that I did. And in these notes and in the original notes, I wrote Virgo ? Like a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just an earth sign thing. Maybe she's a Virgo rising. I do feel there is some placement within her that is Aries. And I say this because we'll get into it, especially when we're talking about like scores and just like general behavior, but like aliens, like colon the rage awakens, do you know what I mean? Because like my biggest critique of her in the first one was like, she is not angry enough, and in the second one it's like she has incredible catchphrases, and it's giving absolutely Aries, you know what I mean?
I'm curious what you think her moon is.
Yeah, like I feel like it could be, no, Aries is too intense for her moon. Maybe she's a Sagittarius moon.
Well, okay, I will say, because you didn't see the third movie, you didn't see her have sex with a man.
I didn't.
And the way that she like initiates that like sexual relationship gives kind of Aries moon, if I'm being real honest.
Does it really?
She kind of like, the way she does it is she's kind of just like, "Hey, I'm horny, you're horny. Let's fuck."
That could be Sagittarius energy too, though. Like, Sagittarius can be, like, kind of messy, sexy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
And there's fire there, but I think if there was any Aries, like, seriously in her chart, it would be somewhere deeper, mm-hmm. like, less visible, because, like, it would have been activated in Alien 1. And, like...
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my take. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking Virgo. She's got lots of Earth. Like, I do think it's maybe Virgo rising, Capricorn sun.
Yeah, no. A Capricorn sun and a Virgo rising is intense, but in a way that, like... reads Ripley to me.
She's a rule follower. Like, she wants people to respect the quarantine, like, shit like that. So but the rage doth awaken in the second one. I'm so excited to talk more about it.
The rage doth awaken. With astrological specs out of the way, let's go ahead and before we get into scores and stuff, Jesse and I just, like, We've honestly been waiting, like, I think we both saw these movies over the weekend, and, like, it's truly only, what, Monday, Tuesday? What Tuesday is it?
It's Monday.
It's literally Monday. It's literally Monday, and I've been chomping at the bit to have discourse about these fucking movies with Jesse. So what we're going to do is we're going to just take, I don't know, a few minutes before we hop into each movie's scores to discuss our passionate thoughts and feelings about these films. And I'm going to say, Jesse, let's have our discourse about two, do the scores, and then we'll get to discourse about four.
Oh, we're never gonna make it. I just feel we could do an entire other podcast just about us, like, dunking on four.
We could start a whole other podcast.
Yeah, it's the title
of the podcast would be the title of the podcast is Stop Letting Men Write Films.
Whoa. That's a hot take. It's a rich text. Okay.
It's a hot take. It's a rich text. Okay. Go ahead,
Jessica. Aliens. Okay.
Aliens.
Are you ready for my take? Like, do you want me to start?
I'm so ready. Lay it on me. Because the way this is... Okay, to give context for the audience, Jesse, like, came at me with, like... I was like, hey, I like hot take. I think that Aliens is, like... one of my favorite movies in the franchise. Like, I think it's like a sequel that almost surpasses the original, right? And then Jesse was like, absolutely not. Aliens, aka Alien 2, is in no way, shape, or form better than the original.
So. Correct. Yeah. And I'm sorry that you're gonna have to hear the parents fight. We still love you very much. But the fact of the matter is, it's not a better movie. And I think
The fact is, you're wrong.
The problem is that you're wrong and your opinion's wrong. And I'm right. No, okay. So, but hear me out. I love Alien because you mentioned slow burn. Sure. It's the way that the suspense is built and the way that it is, like, so truly like a horror movie for that is so good. And it's difficult, I think, to take something that is based around aliens and make it, like, truly scary versus what I think Aliens is, which is an action movie. It's not horror. It's like...
I 100% agree with you on that. I think that you are correct. I do not disagree with you. I think that Aliens 2 is a blockbuster action film. I think Alien is a horror film. I think that is the correct take. That being said... I still had more fun watching Aliens.
Okay, whatever. I'm just a purist, I guess. I think because it was so actiony, it, like, made me laugh. Like, I literally wrote so many notes that were like, aliens, this time there's multiple. Like, it was just like,
But that's always not to get into Scream 2 of it all, but, like, that's the formula for the sequel, right? It's when you have to always do it bigger. You have to do it. You have to have more aliens. You have to have more blood. You have to have more, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but right? I feel like Scream 2 is still horror. And the conversation was around horror, you know, versus this one's like,
for sure,
she saves a little kid and the little kid's safe from the aliens. Like, I don't know. It's just sort of like, It just wasn't, like, giving that scary
to me. I think, okay, well, this is a larger conversation about, like, what each of us finds scary. And, like, it's very rare a horror movie actually scares me, right? And so I think that maybe the reason that I sort of had that interpretation of this film is that, like, Alien doesn't scare me, right? I think that there are horror elements that are fantastic that I find – you know, thrilling and interesting and like suspenseful and like give horror shock value and scare, but it's not scary to me. And so my like interpretive lens of the franchise is less about the scare element. But I think that's a really fair and important point, is that tonally, the first one is horror. The second one is not.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we're actually not fighting. It turns out we're actually in complete agreement.
We're actually, turns out we've actually aligned completely and cosmically. Okay. So.
Go. You give me a take and then I want to hit you with a little bit more and then, yeah.
Okay. Okay. My biggest hot take of Scream. I literally, the way
they can't undo it.
I can't. It's always on my mind. Anyway, my hot take about Aliens, aka Alien 2, is that I think that like as a film itself, does something that I rarely find, and I think again it's not to get all screamy about it, but I think the reason that I find it compelling is because I found it more interesting to watch, like in the context that like it was the sequel to something that I really loved. You know what I mean? Like I love the first Alien, and you know, I think that it's very rare when you can get a sequel from a beloved film that like really does it and like you really enjoy. And I think that, again, in Scream 2, they have a whole fucking discourse about it. In the first like 30 minutes of the film of Scream 2, they have this like movie class, right? They're in college and they're taking a movie class, right? And in the movie class, they're talking about like how like horror sequels are shit and like no one likes a good horror sequel, right? And then they start having this conversation about like, well, like, you know, like if like what sequel has ever surpassed its original, right? And people start listing off like examples, and the examples they give is like The Godfather Part Star 2 Wars. Right? And like Star Wars, right? And specifically they go Aliens, right? I just thought it was fascinating because I think the conversation about sequels is interesting, and I feel like Aliens is a valid entry into the conversation about sequels that surpass outdo the original.
Okay.
Yeah,
I totally hear that. I don't feel it outdid the original, but I do like that it is its own original concept. I like that it wasn't a copy-paste, because that, I think, would have really pissed me off. there were elements that were a little copy-paste that I was kind of like, James Cameron, buddy, like, what are we doing, Jim? Like, it's...
And I think that it's not just James Cameron. It's literally anyone after Ridley Scott who's attempted to do this does the exact goddamn thing, which is the whole, like, Star Wars thing where it's like, if I have to watch someone break into a base one more time, you know what
Blow
I mean?
Blow up one big ship.
And it's that, the Alien... Yeah. The Alien franchise is, if I have to watch people gaslight Ripley into not thinking there's aliens somewhere, and then they all die, and then Ripley survives, I'm going to lose my goddamn
life. Yes, and there's, oh my gosh, when we get into the Ripley arc of things, like, she truly changes, and it's, and I love that. Like, she progresses as a character. She's not just like, a couple of little things I'll just note, because I don't want to include them in scores, but I think it's just funny. May I? Okay. One is the panty redemption arc. Her panties fit.
Interesting.
Whereas in the first one, they just simply don't. Although they put her in panties.
We get Bush in this film, dude.
Do we? I don't remember Bush.
I wrote it down thrice.
Alyssa's I saw Bush thrice.
I saw Bush thrice, okay? Oh, wait, maybe I only saw it twice. Sorry, I only saw it twice, but I saw it twice.
I never saw Bush. Okay. I literally just saw panties, but I still, regardless, think it's funny because they put her in panties and no one else is, which I was like, how come all the other women get shorts? Anyway, and then I wrote, this is so goofy. When she gets in the mech suit, James Cameron makes a crazy decision, which is no music, just bad sound design of a mech suit. And I was like, wow, it really makes you appreciate the Transformers movies. Like,
okay, wait, we gotta get into scores, because this is already getting into my scores.
Is it? Okay, because that one really made me laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, moral of the story for that movie is it's important to smoke in space. Because at one point they needed a lighter to, like, do okay. something huge.
Okay, let's get into it because we're getting into
go. Scores you now, please so. Take us on the journey.
Let me start. Okay. Aliens, plural. Okay. Alien 2. First thing that I will note about, for all of these movies, I had a horny for Sigourney tally at the top of my notes. So every time I got horny for Sigourney, I put a tally mark. In Aliens, I put a tally mark 10 nice. Times.
Wow.
So I had 10 times in which I was like, damn, I'm horny. But with that being said, the first thing that I will say as far as like scores for this bitch in Aliens 2 is that she will not be gaslit, okay? She is not taking anyone's fucking shit, okay? She is ready to fucking stand 10 toes down on her opinions. Speaking of the cigarettes, I did give her 0 out of 10 lung health because she does smoke. And I also want to call out that she smokes in crisis, which is something that I've called out multiple times before in other you know, situations and scenarios with our,
yes.
with our girls.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Comment on the way that she's behaving now. I wrote down a couple of quotes related to this that she said out loud that I was like, she's crushing it because she's no longer being talked over.
Yeah.
They can bill me.
Love it. Love it.
I'm happy to disappoint you.
Literally, I wrote... I'm happy to disappoint you. Disappoint men, diva. Disappoint men. Go out there and disappoint a man today.
And then also I just wrote, we're not leaving when like they were about to turn around. Yeah.
Yes.
So related to that, please continue.
I also have, I'm sick of your bullshit.
Oh, I wrote that down too. Oh my God. One. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I also just want to note that she has a class 2 rating, #women in STEM.
So. Y'all can't see me, but I'm voguing.
Okay, and I did give her 10 out of 10 Optimus Primes for robot operation.
Nice. Yes, yes.
Ari the Transformers.
Yeah, 10 out of 10 Machinery Queen is what I wrote. Mech suit goddess. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. Okay. She also has like goofy dad vibes kind of in this one when she's like interacting with the girl. And I was like, because I was like, through like in 4 I talk about how she's mothering a lot, she's giving mother, but like in this one she's giving mother but not, she's giving dad, she's giving I'm dad, daddy.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
This is so interesting because I wrote mothering took a wild journey, like because she starts by like grabbing and holding the child, which you should not be doing, you do not know this kid, you know what I mean? So bad instincts. And then like when she's like pointing to the camera and she's like, we're watching you. I was like, babe, no, this is not good. And like, and then to the very end, like thrashing to save her from the water, like mother instinct times 10,000, right? Like, so,
yeah.
But you saying dad is very, yeah. Cause she doesn't quite nail it. Like
she's not mom. She's not mom. She's daddy. Yeah. Okay. I also gave her 10 out of 10 manhandling skills. The way that she throws that man up against a wall, I'm like, yeah, baby.
Yes, deeply satisfying.
And then I was going to say she's a DIY diva. She knows how to stay strapped, let me tell you, because she's the way she's like putting shit together and like clicking straps and shit at the end there, I'm like, damn. Also, she has like beast mode, which is what I called it, towards the end of this film when she just like goes absolute beast mode. And just starts fucking killing shit left and right. And then the my moral of the story of this one is that we need to believe women. The moral of the story of Aliens and just the alien franchise in general is believe women.
Yes. I was going to say my moral for 4, which we'll get there, is literally believe women. I'll tell you in a second though. Yeah.
Great. Amazing. I was going to say also another thing that I want to say about this is that at the end of this film when like she and the mama alien are like kind of squaring it yeah. down, I was like, oh, game recognizes game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's something that I talk about in 4 too, which is an alternative scenario. Why doesn't alien something that I say is that throughout the franchise, I become more and more sympathetic to the aliens.
Yeah.
Right?
I get that.
Like, as this franchise goes on, I'm rooting for the aliens way more. And in this one, I was kind of like, why don't we just team up, diva? Why don't we just, like, team up with the aliens and become... And, you know, we get to that in 4. Anyway, please go ahead and hit me with your two scores, and then we'll get into the discourse about four.
I literally only had like one other thing, or like two other things, which is like, I put 1,000 Susan Strongs for upper arm strength. Susan Strong is a character from Adventure Time. Anyway, because I was trying to think of like who's a baddie that's also like super fucking strong, and I was like, Susan Strong. The Adventure Time heads will know. So, and then minus 10 points for not counting fuel. This is very fight related, but like there is a point where her shit is going down. She's kind of rage shooting everything.
Yes.
And I was like, bitch, look at your gun. Like she was got too caught up in the moment, and it ended up being to her detriment later. So just a food for thought, a nugget for thought. That's all.
And I think that goes into when she goes into beast mode.
Yes.
Right? Like the beast mode is maybe not smart. You know what I mean? It's like beast mode is strong, but is beast mode big brain?
A rational thinker. Maybe not.
Yeah. A rational thinker. Okay. The time has come for me and Jesse to discuss. How do I even, if you haven't seen Alien 4,
Just
don't go see it. And if you have seen it, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that is something that you've had to witness. But Jesse, why don't you give me your takes on this film?
Firstly of all, it's written by Joss Whedon. Can we address it up at the top? Because it fucking shows. Written by Joss Whedon, but here's the problem. Is directed by Jean something, 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 something.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
next
yeah.
film he directs in his anthology, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Not anthology is the wrong word. It's Amelie. Interesting. So I'm just going to blame Joss Whedon for everything because I can't really sever my allegiances from Amelie at this time.
And it's so funny that you mentioned that, though, because everyone else does blame Joss Whedon for this film. Like when I went to the Wikipedia, because like while I was watching the movie, I was like, what are people saying about this? Right. And so I went to the Wikipedia and I went to the reception tab, you know, when it's like reception to the film. And basically the consensus is that like everyone was like, we were really excited about this. And then like they gave us Joss Whedon's script and we were all like, this is bullshit. And Joss Whedon is quoted saying like, they did the movie that I wrote, but like not in the way that I would have wanted them to do it. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, Joss Whedon.
At one point, there's just a whole, like you see a whole butt that pans.
Oh yeah, with the woman, with the woman,
a woman's butt that pans,
and her feet
getting a foot massage. This woman speaks all of twice, I think, in the entire film, and that's it. That's it. That's the only that for no for
the
no
amount of
reason.
And the amount of lines that like are said by men that like truly just make me think, oh, if I see Joss Whedon, it's on site. Like if I ever see this man in the streets, it's on site. And it's funny because like after I did this research, I was like, What is going on with Joss Whedon? I was like, I know that we hate him, but like, does he have like actual gations?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wait, what is going on? Okay.
So the tea about Joss Whedon is that like he doesn't have official gations in the sense. Also, gations means allegations.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah, yeah.
I abbreviate gations to in case you're like, what? He doesn't have like official gations in the sense that like someone has filed a sexual assault lawsuit against him or like someone, you know what I mean? Like he doesn't have that. However, he does have many, 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 many people who have been actors, writers, producers, like film crew for him, who say that he is a fucking creep, a fucking narcissist, a fucking abuser, and a fucking piece of shit. And in 2017, his ex-wife came out with a slanderous piece against him, like in a written publication about how during their marriage he had multiple illicit affairs with like young actresses while they were married. So while technically he does not have capital A allegations in the sense that like someone's trying to like seek justice for that, we all know that people don't report that kind of shit.
No, 100%.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, I, yeah. And also, like, you know, getting into the Buffy discourse. Okay, we don't have time to
do that. We don't. And I wish we did, we don't.
And if we had time to do a I Hate Joss Whedon and Here's Why podcast, we'd get into it, but we don't. So let's get into Alien 4.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. So, couple of things to note. Couple of things to know. Moral of the, fuck equals fork. I wrote down unrelated to anything score, but it made me laugh a lot. Moral of the story, listen to women, mm-hmm. even if they're scary / sexy. And then I crossed that out and said, especially if they're scary / sexy.
And that's a rich text.
Yeah.
That food for thought on that one. Wow.
Also, we didn't say this, but her astrology would not be the same because she was not.
Her astrology would not be the same.
Which we've talked about this with.
This is tea.
Actually, with the original, her episode, because.
Because her birth date is like thousands of years in the future. Yeah.
But, but I wrote Aquarius / Scorpio for lack of any more direction.
Yeah. Absolutely. Agreed.
Any other thoughts on the movie that we need to say?
Oh, so many. Okay. Let me just take a deep. Just take a deep beat. Yeah. Okay. The way this film is such a waste of Sigourney Weaver's talent is the biggest.
And
crime.
Winona Ryder
is the biggest.
Winona Ryder too.
And Winona fucking Ryder. It's offensive. I'm offended. This film is offensive.
I was offended.
And yeah, also the first note that I have written down is Muppet Babies in Space? ? Because you know how she's like in that like glass tube when they're like,
God damn it. Like, God damn it.
This Muppet Babies in Space? Okay. Should we get into Alien 4 scores?
Yeah, okay, let's do it. So the scores for Ripley 8, aka Hoops. That's what I call her because
yes, correct. I also have a score specifically on her hoopage.
So she's an alien now. She's an alien mommy now. So she took being mommy too seriously from Aliens. She rocks a 10 out of 10 manicure. And then I put in parentheses more like 8 out of 8.
Wait, that's good. I wrote face card that never declines.
Oh, it's giving 100% of the time. And it's serving.
She's eating these bitches. Yeah. Okay.
So this is some of the things I wrote. Based on the conversations that the men were having observing her initially, I put touch of the tiz, which is a phrase that I've learned recently, which essentially they said, like, she has emotional autism.
What does that fucking mean? No fucking idea.
These men aren't scientists.
She gives neurodivergent riz.
Exactly.
For sure.
So, alien memories, acid blood. I don't know if this is true. Can breathe underwater?
No, but yes. So, like, no, in the sense that, like, none of those bitches can breathe underwater. But, like, yes, in the sense that, like, the film was poorly written and they were all underwater for, like, 12 minutes without breathing.
But so does she. So. She was fine. They were scrambling. And the xenomorphs 100% can breathe underwater.
Could breathe underwater. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'd have to revisit it, which I'm not going to do. Because
that's a horrible film. Yeah. And we'd never ask you to do that.
For sure.
Okay. So I also wrote a list of attacks she can take, which is part of why... This is, and Alyssa and I fought, and it's okay because we're okay because we've repaired things.
We've gotten through it.
It's not about never fighting. It's about how you mend it, and everybody knows that.
And that's true. And that's not, and that, and our friendship is deeper.
Yeah, exactly. We're better for it. So the things that she can take physically, a lightning gun to the head, a giant weight to the face. She gets stabbed through the hand. She kills a xenomorph. Like, she can stay underwater for a long time. Like, the witch is leaning indestructible. But a thousand.
But you know what, Jesse? If it bleeds. If it bleeds.
We can kill it. I've never seen Alien versus Predator, okay?
It's technically just the Predator films, but because it's like adjacent, I was like, teehee. Okay, anyway, keep going.
Real quick, 1,000 out of 10 Spidey senses, like 1,000 Peter Parkers.
I also said Spidey. Wait, that's so funny. I gave her a Tom Holland out of Tobey Maguire.
That's so funny because I was leaning Tobey Maguire. fantastic. Compassionate Queen for killing Ripley 7.
Yes.
And all the other ones.
And all of the, all the other ones. Yeah. She's real fucking emo in this one. The clone of her gets real emo about shit, about the killing her baby daughter, granddaughter thing, and killing her clones. And like, just, she gets emo generally, is my thought.
A lot of touching.
It's, yeah. It's like,
That's your kid.
Whoa.
Okay. And then last but not least, resourceful AF. She really uses the acid blood to her advantage. Like, it is a consistent tool.
Yeah, yeah.
And good for her, you know? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. She knows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Very similarly, I gave her 10 out of 10 Michael Jordans for hooping game. I also said she's not beating the lesbian allegations with this like WNBA shit that she's pulling. Like, she's just not beating them. I was gonna say also, I was gonna say that she's unlike two, she's giving mother. It's giving mother as opposed to two, which was giving daddy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Also, I'm surprised you didn't call this one out, but she really likes to engage in modern dance to commune with the aliens. Like, she does a lot of modern dance type shit in this film.
Oh, interesting. Modern.
Like, she does a lot of, like you can't see because this is an audio medium, but she's doing a lot of, like...
Yeah.
She's doing a lot of, like,
when she falls into the pit of organic matter, I guess. Like, she...
Of alien goop?
Yeah, I don't know, the stuff. She, like, is doing a lot of, like...
The stuff.
And then when she's with them, she's kind of, like... Lots of face touching and lots of like, and then the other thing, the other aliens like also do lots of face touching.
And well, also, but when she's like sensing them, when she's like, I can smell them, right? She's like on the floor, just like doing modern dance as if she's like at Tisch School for the Arts. You know what I mean?
I'm like interpreting that as like normal behavior. I'm like not even clocking it. I'm like, yeah, for sure.
yeah, for sure. It's giving theater major, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, Jesse. It's time to fight these hoes.
Wait, say that again?
It's time to fight these hoes.
Oh, fuck, it's time to fight these hoes. I'm sorry. It went silent for a second, and then I was like, I think we're going to fight. Fuck.
And you're like, oh, huh? Actually, this is the end of the podcast. Me and Jesse are...
We're really coming up on time.
Okay. No, we have precisely 10 minutes to get these bitches into a ring.
I'm ready.
Because me and Jesse...
I'm ready.
And I want the listeners to know that we're trying to keep these under an hour, okay? Because we care about you and your attention.
The way
span.
We,
but here's the thing is that we have a lot to say, okay? We have a lot to say.
We have so many thoughts and feelings, and that's why you're here, is because you want to hear our thoughts and feelings.
That's why you're
but
here.
But I promise you that we are thinking about you. And before the pod ever begins, we sit here and we think, how can we shave off any minutes? How can we possibly?
Yeah.
But it's all essential, babe. And
it's honestly, and it's like, We need to do this because we need to counteract the amount of men with podcast mics out there. Like, for every minute that you and I are podcasting into a microphone, we are counterbalancing some fuck-ass guy with a podcast mic in some basement somewhere.
We're just bringing balance to the podcast universe. Okay, so we have to fight.
We're bringing balance to the universe.
We're bringing balance to the universe. I'm not going to apologize for how much we're...
I'm not going to.
I'm working on a whole thing where I'm just not apologizing anymore. So
because hashtag believe women.
Believe the scary, sexy women, especially. Okay.
Especially. Okay, great. Let's fight these bitches. Okay. So we've got, and again, we're referring to them as Ripley 2 v Ripley 4.
Yes.
So we've got Ripley 2, Ripley 4. I'm thinking what we do is we have these hoes in a spaceship. They crash land on some random planet. And the what happens is basically if you've seen the scene as if this is a thing you can watch. If you've listened to the to season one, if you remember how Ripley descends onto the final fight when she like emerges from the ship, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My thought is like, what if two ships crash, one with Ripley 2, one with Ripley 4, and they like and like, you know what I mean, right? And they both emerge from the fog.
Yeah,
you know?
I love that.
Okay, excellent.
Quick logistical question.
Yes.
Are there access to firearms?
Yes. I think that if they are, they crash landed in their ship. So I think that anything that was in their ship is up for grabs.
Wow. Okay. Roger that. Okay. So we've got Ripley 2. This is going to take me a second. Mm-hmm. Ripley 2 and Hoops. Sorry.
And Hoops.
Ripley 4.
WNBA star Ripley 4.
We're never going to make it. Okay. So they emerge from their ships. I think Ripley 4 is going to try to kind of use the fog to her advantage and kind of taps into some of that xenomorph energy and is most likely going to try to be a little bit incognito, especially if this is the kind of crash-landed ship area where there is that sort of like xenomorph nest shit climbing up on the walls and stuff like that. She's going to find some crannies to gain an advantage visually, I think, initially. And I think that Alien 2, Ripley 2, is strapped. Like,
yeah. That was my initial reaction is that Alien 2, Ripley 2 like comes out the gate just being like, if I crash land on another motherfucking planet, I'm gonna fucking kill someone. And so she crash lands and she's like, fucking fuck me, right? And so she straps the fuck up. She like pulls out of the ship armed and loaded, right? And it's just like securing the perimeter, right? And I think that, to your point, I think that WNBA Ripley 4, I think she immediately goes like incognito mode, like you said. I think she kind of like swoops down from the ship, right? And she's kind of like mingling in the fog, right? I think that Ripley 2 has like, you know, one of the one of those like motion detector things, right? And so I think that she like detects the motion, right? It goes beep, 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 right? We've locked in on the fact that there is motion, aka Ripley 4 is around here somewhere. So I think that Ripley 2 is kind of surveying, trying to like clock Ripley 4, where is this hoe, right? And I think what happens is she, Ripley 4, again, kind of hiding in the crags, is kind of assessing the situation, the crags. Yes. Ripley 2 fires a shot off at the crags, thinking that she spotted her, right? But it doesn't connect. It doesn't land because Ripley 4 got moves. You know what I mean, right?
I think she definitely kind of is not exactly where that detector said that she would be. And I think she comes out at Ripley 2 from the side. More of a tackling motion. You know, if we think about her in Alien 4 where she's like, she like just does, she kills that xenomorph and she's like, she was in the way. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, she was in the way. Does she disarm? Does she disarm Ripley too? Like, what happens when she when they make impact?
I'm thinking that they collide and fall to the ground. Uh-huh. The gun, all of them usually have like some kind of body strap. So I think that she falls back like onto the side, and the gun is no longer like in her hands with her finger on the trigger or anything like that. But I do think the gun is still near her.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I think right now, Ripley 4 like is in a dominant position.
Okay. So I think what happens is you know, they collide, right? Maybe Ripley 4 is on top of Ripley 2, right?
What a thought. Two Sigourneys on top of each other. I'm getting horny.
Oh, also, by the way, I forgot to mention that I got horny for Sigourney 5 times in Alien 4.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like 1,000.
No, here's the thing. Is the reason that it decreased is because by the time I was watching 4, I had watched 3 and the entire, basically, and I was like, I was ready to kill myself. You know what I mean? So my horny levels were down. But I think in theory, if I had just seen it on its own, the horny meters would have been higher than 2. But
her arms are exposed that entire movie. And it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, okay. Long story short, they collide, right? I think Ripley 4 is on top of Ripley 2. I think that maybe Ripley 2 kind of gets her arms from out from underneath her, and she just sucker punches straight up to Ripley 4. And I think what happens is that that impact causes Ripley 4's nose to bleed. Yes. And a little bit of it drops onto Ripley's arm. And so her arm starts fucking like burning singeing. With acid, right? Yeah, singeing. And so then that's when Ripley 2 clocks, oh, fucking shit. This hoe is a goddamn alien, yeah. right? And so I think that for her, that shifts things. That she shifts into, like, not beast mode full on, but, like, she's like, I have to treat this differently. This is not just a random hoe. This is a fucking alien ass hoe. You yes. know what I mean?
So next, I think what happens is, like, okay, so from underneath Ripley 4, she punches up. The blood drips down. I think when she punches up, it's mm-hmm. it knocks Ripley 4's head back enough to where she can kind of mm-hmm. roll onto her side, but it does still, like, the blood still drips in time for it to, like, singe her. So she's like, oh, fuck. But yeah. she's no longer directly underneath 4 because she's okay. kind of body rolled mm-hmm. a little bit. When she realizes, oh, fuck, like, I need to stop turning my head because I know I'm going away from the mic, but I'm literally reenacting this live action right now. Okay, so I say reenacting it like it happened. Okay, so she...
It did. It did. This is and canon.
This is canon. So more so than anything Joss Whedon ever wrote. Okay, so she...
Absolutely.
She rolls to the side. And Ripley 4 is kind of like back on her like knees sort of. And I think that Ripley 2 looks down at her shoulder and then like kicks Ripley mm-hmm. 4. And I think there's the floor is grated, which is very... So when she kicks her, there's one of the grate pieces missing and she falls down into this grate. Mm. Now, it just means it's down to another level. Do you know what I mean? Like nothing super far, but like kind of like how when Newt was trapped underneath a grate, it's like that. Yeah. So she's down on that.
So wait, Ripley 2 or Ripley 4?
Ripley 4 just got kicked down there by Ripley 2 after she got singed in the shoulder. Which basically what she's trying to do, what Ripley 2 is trying to do is get her gun back into her like person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also try to like tend to her singe. So trying to get her farther mm-hmm. away from her, basically trying to get Ripley 4 mm-hmm. farther away.
Okay. Here's what my thought is. So I think that, you know, Ripley 4 is now like in the grates, right? And I think that, you know, Ripley 4 is trying to use the like sneaky I'm a modern dancing alien vibe to her advantage, right? And so I think that initially once like Ripley 2 kind of gets her bearings, she kind of adjusts. She's able to pick up the gun. And I think that she kind of like is looking around trying to be like, where the fuck did this alien bitch go? And Ripley 4, I think, is kind of like bebopping around, right? Underneath the grates. Yeah. Pardon me, sorry. Ripley 4 is kind of bebopping around underneath the grates. And I think that Ripley 2 is kind of like, you know, like looking with her gun, trying to figure out like, how do I get this bitch, right? And she's maybe firing off a couple of shots, but missing every time, right? And so then I think what happens is she misses a couple times, right? And so now there's kind of like holes in the grates.
Yeah.
And so Ripley 4 is like popping up like a gopher, like out of the grates, you know what I mean? Eventually Ripley 4 kind of pops up out of one of the grates and they're kind of standing next to each other face to face. I think that Ripley 2 fires off a shot that actually makes contact with Ripley 4. However, it does not do as much damage as she was hoping it would do, right?
May I ask a firearms question?
Yes,
Is this gun a gun or is it a flamethrower gun or is it a dual purpose gun?
I think it's a dual purpose gun. And I think that she's firing bullets at this point.
Okay.
Right.
Roger that.
But so I think she fires off a couple of shots at her that connect and she's realizing, oh shit, this bitch ain't taking bullets. Right. And so I think what happens next is what Ripley 2 needs to do is she needs to find a distraction because what I want for Ripley 2 is I want her to go full Transformers mode and I want her to go find a mech suit. But I don't know how she gets there.
I don't know either because I feel like she's not going to be able to get away from Ripley 4. They're both standing at this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's shot Ripley 4. Mm-hmm. With regular bullets. Okay, yeah. Well, because may I?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because I feel like if she's getting shot, she is bleeding.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh, so the acid blood.
What I'm thinking is the blood is dripping down some of her, one of her legs, and it singes a hole through the grate below her, just her foot sinking down. So okay, she's caught.
And she gets caught.
Ripley, too, runs back into her ship to try to find a mech suit. I don't know about if she's going to get it, because I think what's going to happen is pretty quickly she'll see the suit, but getting into the suit... In the movie, she had to have an entire blast door thing in between her and the alien in order to get into the suit with enough time, which took a little time. Versus now, I think that Ripley 4 is just yanking her foot out of the gate and on her fucking way to come for her. So it might be a battle to actually get into the suit itself.
Okay. I think that Ripley 2 is halfway in the suit. Okay. She's like, she's trying to put the suit on, right? She's trying to... get to a point where she is suited the fuck up, right? I don't think she's fully suited up, though, by the time that Ripley 4 enters the arena, right? So Ripley 4 pulls up.
Give me the stance, like the...
So, yeah. So Ripley 4 is, like, pulling into the door of the ship. So, like, she, like, is trying to find Ripley 2, who's, like, getting into the mech suit, right?
Or is Ripley 2's, like, legs in but not arms? Or, like, is it...
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think that she's... I think let's say her legs are in, but not her arms, right? Cool. And so I think that she, like Ripley 4, then like decides to utilize the acid blood, right? I think that what she does is she like, you know, because she got shot a couple times, she flings some acid blood, right? Like at the mech suit. And I think one of the arms like is kind of like melting off the mech suit now so Ripley 2's got two legs in the mech suit. Now one arm is lost. And so she's like, fuck, shit. And so she somehow gets her arm in the other thing, but now she's only got one arm. And so I think she starts swiping at Ripley 4 with the mech suit, right?
And she's like on the move probably.
Yeah, yeah, she's on the move, right? And I think that what happens sort of here is kind of a what I would call like a fist to fisticuffs situation, but one is in a mech suit and one's an alien, you know?
Yeah. Where where is the gun?
The gun she has, I think, strapped to the back of her.
Okay, so she still has the gun. Okay. Because I'm thinking what the next move would be is, like, try to get, like, because no doubt Ripley 4 is doing her best to get is as close to Ripley 2 as possible. Because what she's going to have to do fisticuffs-wise is literally hurt her, right? So.
Yeah. And ignite the flamethrower, I think, is how she's going to have to do it. That's the only way she's defeating Ripley 4 is if she gets the flamethrower.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. So Ripley 4, though, is trying to get to Ripley 2. And the only way that she's going to get to Ripley 2 is by kind of, like, trying to get... In the mech suit with her, sort of. You know what I mean? Like, she's got to get close as possible. Yeah, yeah. So I think what she's doing is she's jumping up. She's kind of battling with the working arm. Maybe even hanging from it, right? And this is, like, not great for Ripley 2 because as we know, Ripley 4 is, like, has got some insane upper arm strength. So...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that Ripley 2 is doing exactly that with the arm that's not being employed inside the mech suit. She is like doing her best to swing this shit around so that she can get a hold of it while also actively swinging her other arm. And so I think she does successfully get a swing around. But the fuel left in her thing is like extremely low. So we just need to keep that in mind because
in the flamethrower or in the I think so. Here's my thought. I'm gonna take us to the end of the fight. I think that what happens is Ripley 2's caught in the crosshairs, right? She's down and out for the count, so to speak. And so I think that she does what Ripley 2 does great in 2, which is she goes beast mode, right? She goes, all right, let's lock the fuck in. Let's go beast mode, right? And I think that, to your point, she starts unloading with that flamethrower, right? Not really aware of how many clicks she's gotten that flamethrower. I think she starts flamethrowing it up. And I think that some of that flame catches onto Ripley 4. And Ripley 4 is kind of like, you know what I mean, right? Not doing good, right? I think Ripley 4 is kind of stumbling, fumbling. And then I think what happens is as Ripley 4 is stumbling and bumbling, right?
Ripley, too, is like, you know, trying to unload as much flamethrower as she can. But slowly it's starting to click down and down and down. Right. I think that Ripley 4 then sees that we're in the spaceship. Right. Because she went into the spaceship to go, you know, grab the mech suit. So Ripley 4.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Ripley 4 Ripley 4 and Ripley 2 are in the spaceship because that's where she went to go grab the mech suit. Right. And I think that what happens next is, as Ripley 2 is going beast mode, just going, right, and unloading flame, she's not being very precise with it. And I think what happens is that, like, maybe Ripley 4's arm catches on fire, right, and, like, is kind of melting off. But I think in that sort of, like, swinging motion, what Ripley 4 does is she slams her hand on an airlock that, like, locks Ripley 4 into, like, a segment of the ship that's, like, gonna, like, explode outside of it. So she, like, basically, like, she like pushes Ripley 2 back into like an airlock because she's, you know, like swinging. And then Ripley 4 hits the button. And what happens is that while she's like trying to unload the, you know, the flamethrower as it's going down click by click, she's only getting flames sort of in her, it's like part where the airlock is happening. And so I think what happens is that Ripley 2 burns alive in the airlock and Ripley 4, with maybe some acid, with maybe some burns, walks away victorious.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
I'm just wondering if, like, there's fire going, but they're no, like, she's no longer in the same room as her. Does she take off and then, like, expel her through the airlock? Or, like, because how does she get out of the ship? Do you know what I mean? Because the airlock will typically be the exit of the ship.
I don't know how spaceships work.
I'm like, I'm gonna be real honest with you. For the structure of a spaceship, we're fighting again.
I was in my, the way, we're fighting again. We're, mom and dad are fighting again. in my head, it was like, she, like, you know how like different, like, you know how they have escape pods and you can like separate and like quarantine different sections of the ship? I think that like in my head, it was like some sort of like pod that you can separate from the ship that she blocks her into, cuts off, and then like lights a flame.
Gotcha. So she is just like encompassed by her own like flame problems and yeah. An alien yeah.
Her own flame
Ripley
problems.
4 wins.
Yeah.
Okay. I hate it.
And the synopsis of this episode is I hate it.
I hate Ripley 4. Yeah. But it's fine.
I hate Ripley 4. I hate Alien 4. I hate Alien 3. I hate Joss Whedon. And if I'm going to be real honest with you, I hate men in film.
Okay.
One of my favorite Chapel Roan quotes, which is I don't necessarily agree with, but I do love the energy of it, is when she's like, "I don't think men make good art," and I'm like, "Okay, pop off, period."
Yeah,
queen.
I know. Alyssa's in their misandry phase of life, and I'm gonna let them.
I'm
explore
in my misandry
it,
phase,
and it's fine.
I do think men make good art. I just like the idea that we should just say that men don't make good art.
I think that's fair, but we are literally about to move into the appreciation station. We're about to talk about a man who has deeply influenced our pod art.
And God bless the men who make this pod happen.
Okay, so Ripley 4 moves on to the next tier. Mazel tov. Congratulations.
The way you seem so upset about this is we have to like have like couples therapy
we
about
will
it,
and we'll
like.
And we'll talk to our therapist about that. Our therapist is our yeah, friend yeah. Devin is a therapist.
Who's like quite literally a therapist. Oh my god. So funny. Okay, well, with that disappointing ending, chugga 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 chugga.
What's that sound, Alyssa?
It's the sound of the appreciation train rolling into the appreciation station, Jesse. Thank you to, hey, our friend Devin McNaughton, who's a therapist, mm-hmm. for giving our amazing prelude to the podcast, as well as the Burly Girlies for lending us their song, Whore for Horror, that is the awesome jam bop to the opening of this podcast.
It's a bop. It's a mood. It's a vibe. We love it. I want to give a big thank you to our pod father, Prince Jackson.
The only man.
The only man who is acceptable for him to make art. Thank you to him and thank you to the Goodnight Network, because this is a Goodnight production and they make it possible for us to do this. So we love that.
Also, speaking of the Goodnight Network, just real quick shout out to over at Goodnight Podcast. They have an incredible horror Discord community for that podcast. And I dropped my thoughts and feelings and opinions like as I was watching them during my Alien watch through. So shout out to anyone who listens to the Goodnight Pod and is listening to this podcast as well. Because I appreciate the Discord community that was holding my hand through this process.
And community is what it's all about. Do you have any other general gratitude?
I do have some general gratitudes. I want to thank Jesse because we started today being like, this could be the end of the friendship. Like this could be the end of the friendship if we can't come to a conclusion and a consensus on like what's happening here. But you know what? We're almost done with this episode, and I think our friendship is only stronger. I think we've only grown as people, as podcasters, and as friends. So my first general gratitude will, of course, be to Jesse. I also want to give out a general shout out to Sigourney Weaver. Ugh. Like fucking Sigourney Weaver, dude. Thanks for existing. Thanks for making me horny. Yeah.
I'll second that on all fronts.
Yeah.
Thank you to Alyssa, an amazing pod partner. Even though we fight, you know, we're stronger for it. It's okay. We made it through. And yeah, Sigourney Weaver, I mean, talk about a dame with range. Like, it's
absolutely.
It's a juicy time. And I'm so grateful for her. I also want to thank you, the listeners. Thank you so much for listening to the pod and for tolerating. I shouldn't say tolerating. You want to be here. Let's be honest.
You want to be
but
here.
But we do definitely. We yap. And that's why they made us have a podcast.
And that's why the podcast gods blessed us with a pod.
Exactly. So thank you.
Also, just like a general thank you to the listeners for sticking with us for this long, because we really edged y'all on this season. We really said, it's coming out. And then 3 months went by and then we said, it's coming out. And then.
Great. It's not about having a regular cadence. It's like jazz. You know, when the timing is right, we know it and we feel it in the music.
Yeah. Okay. also, if you want to, you know, stay engaged with us through our ups and downs, through our hiatuses and such, please feel free to follow us on the social medias. We've got Instagram, which is going to be @FinalGirlStandingPod, and Twitter, which is @FinalGirl_pod. We will post the bracket information and other relevant shite to the social medias, so please be sure to follow us there. Yes, if you want to go see the comment that Lupita Nyong'o left, you can go check out our Instagram.
Yeah, it's an important part of the lore, so you can see that the evidence that Lupita loves us and that we love Lupita, and it's mutual. Important to note also, talking about the bracket, next episode, it is going to be all about Lori, because we're still in our franchise bracket. Yeah, that's right. And we are officially doing Lori from H2O Halloween, right?
I think it's going to be H2O versus 2018. Basically, go watch Halloween. Go watch whatever Halloween you want to watch, and we'll see you there.
Yeah. Once you watch 2018, it's like,
yeah, you get the point.
We get the point.
But I haven't revisited H2O since I was in high school, and so that's why I want to go revisit it, because I also have it on VHS. But anyway,
I'm excited. It's giving like Muppets from Space kind of vibes. You know what I mean? It's giving like, doesn't Jason go to space or something like that? Anyway,
so, that's a completely different franchise, babe.
Listen, I know, but also he does go there. Okay. okay. Fantastic. So please go watch those films in preparation for the next
episode. Yes. And now, a moment of silence for our girl, Ripley 2, a.k.a. Sigourney.
She was so good.
She was so good. And honestly, I'm mad about it. But let's lay her to rest.
Okay.
Ready? And moment of silence. Amen.
Amen. Although I did just remember her haircut, which is also a crime that they took the mullet away.
Bro, the hair. We didn't even talk about it.
Talk about the hair. Wait, start the episode over.
Start over. Start over. Everyone start over. Okay. Love you. Bye. Love you. Bye.